Brother Stewart. Brother Jerry York, Sister Sandra, car troubles, all right. Brother Paul, back out on the job. Well, it's this 100-degree weather that's coming next week's gonna. It's always a trying time for him, but it's good for business. You know, there's always a con and a pro to these things. Brother Sonny Daniels is oldest daughter. Her name is Sister Swearingen. I'm not sure if it's Sandra or I've got her name on my phone, but she's in St. Vincent's Hospital. Did you know her name, Brother Painter? Glenda, that's right. It is Glenda Swearingen. She had brain surgery. She had a tumor, and they did surgery yesterday. They had to send it in, but the doctor said it looks cancerous. So I know they'd appreciate it if we had to pray for Sister Linda Swearingen, their oldest daughter. And we don't have the actual results yet, but anyway, brain surgery is not anything about it. Not serious, is it, Brother Durham? And so I know God can touch her. God can help her. And let's pray for tonight's service. I'd ask God to come in and touch us. And give us a... Steve Wallace, all right? He's in bed tonight, they said. And I don't know, maybe we'll just go ahead and take prayer requests since we're going to pray. We mentioned several here. Sister... All right, Sister Donna. I guess he's graduating from boot camp, so let's pray for him. My wife and I were talking about him before church. He's still in the, you know, staying. I guess he's going to stay in the military. Sister June? Remember that. And my mother's she's really been doing good, but she woke up today with that pain in her jaw. And so if you would pray for her, Sister Smith's been able to get a little bit of food down her today, but not really an adequate amount. I really appreciated the missionary pledge that we had Sunday night, Brother McGowan took up. I think God was in that. I'll just give you a report that Brother Calderon is starting on his roof tomorrow. I got a hold of him, told him, I said, you know, God helped us. And I said, just go ahead and get started. We had about $1,600 of the pledges come in when we took up the offering, so we had enough to get started, and so I told him, just get started. Well, I said, I think the Lord will provide as time goes on, so he's excited. Amen. All right, let's stand here tonight. Ask the Lord to meet these needs. I know there's unspoken requests too, and others that aren't here. Let's pray. O Lamb of God, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your goodness to us. God, we're your needy people. Ask you to help us, O God, in our times of need. This critical need of Sister Swearingen and Sister Glenda Swearingen, Lord. O God, Brother and Sister Daniel's oldest daughter, would you touch her? I know you could use this, God, for your glory. I ask you to, if you would, work it in your will, oh God, to spare her life. Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Touch my mother tonight, Lord, this trigeminal nerve condition that she has. Ask you to touch her and relieve her of her pain, oh God. Precious Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, meet the needs, those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, for different reasons. Brother Wallace, touch him, Lord. Help Brother Thompson on the job. Brother and Sister Bryant, Lord, each one, God, that is not able to be here. Then bless our service, oh God. Let us sup with you. Precious Lamb of God, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. Amen, amen. All right, we're just going to go ahead and follow suit. Take up the offering while we're at it, and while the band plays. Lord bless you as you give. Thank you.
Let it
appreciate the Lord tonight. And I just appreciate, you know, His, where we're at in the Lord as far as, you know, His timetable as far as the church and the restoration. And, you know, I was thinking about that song Sister Lynette started us off with, I'm Still Here. I'm thankful for that tonight, that God still made it possible for me to still be serving Him. And I know that, you know, we're in a time frame in God's purpose that it's a good time. It really is. I mean, God's blessings, if you go back and start counting your blessings, you can't help but feel better. You can be down in the dumps. You can be going through a lot of troubles, but if you just go back and start counting your blessings, you know, and what God's done for you, and where He brought you from, and all the things that He's done for you, you can't help but feel better, even though you may be going through a time, you know, difficulty. One thing I'm glad for is we're normally not all going through something bad at the same time. Thank God some people shouting while some others are maybe not, but then, you know, and I'm always been thankful for my wife in that way. We're not too many times have we both been down at the same time. You know, if one of us gets down, the other one, even if we're both down, we're not both down as low as the other one. And the one that's not down slow finally realizes, hey, the other one's really in trouble. I better straighten up because I got to help them up out of this. And she's been a helper to me, you know, to just get through whatever. I know she was telling me not too long ago, Michael's, you know, he's looked like the Lord's blessing him. He's coming out on the other side, but he's went through a difficult time. And she told me, she said, I told him that your dad's been through this. Your dad's, you know, he's been, you know, y'all just didn't know it. But he's been at his wit's end a few times. And we've just had to hold on to God. And that's the thing is, thank God that some way, something He was able to put in me to know that I had to hold on to Him. And there's been times when I've told Him, look, my grip's not very tight. Hold on to me, Lord, please hold on to me. Don't, if I start slipping, but you know, I've got that promise. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Thank God for that. You know, I mean, I might, there's been even times when I was a young man that I drifted away from God, but He never left me. Every time that I just, you know, every time that I just turned to Him, called on His name, He was there. It don't matter how bad I was, Brother Daniels, or what, you know, some of the thoughts maybe I had. Maybe I didn't do everything I was thinking, but I was thinking wrong. It's just part of, Brother McGowan said growing up. But it is. It's part of growing up in the Lord and learning the ways of God. And I was thinking about that scripture, and I might just say something about this if God will help me tonight. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, I'm not going to, you know, dwell on anything just real deep and try to go through a big teaching or anything, but this one scripture I'd like to say something about, where he tells us to go on to perfection and not lay again the foundation of repentance and faith, dead works from dead works and faith towards God, and of the doctrine of baptism, laying on the hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He said, and this we'll do if God permit. Then he says, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. That's the part I want to talk about. It's the heavenly gift. Jesus told the little woman at the well, the little Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, I think it's like verse 10. You know, he asked her for a drink, and he told her, he said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, he said, if you knew, how did he say that? If you knew the gift of God, and he that asked you for a drink. And I was just thinking about that. He was referring to the fact that God sent him to reconcile man. God's grace, the gift of God that God sent in Jesus. And then let me give you another scripture in Romans, the fifth chapter of Romans. in the 12th verse, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on all men. For that all have sinned. For unto the law, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now notice what he's saying here. Nevertheless, he's saying, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That scripture right there lets you know that Adam sinned a great sin. It wasn't just a sin but it was a sin that had eternal judgment. But death still reigned. Let's read on a little bit more and see what he's saying. He said, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? Adam was a figure of Christ that was to come because he was a son of God and he was in the garden. And he had something that none of us had after the fall, and Jesus had that. But not as the offense, verse 15, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so and not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So he says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And You have to understand here that he's showing how when Adam sinned, it brought condemnation on all. He fell out of a high place. He fell out of the garden, and then it brought sin, and it took time. It took time for, it didn't take time for death to reign over all, because that was the condemnation that came immediately with the sin. But it took time for sin and the sin nature to develop, and for the, degradation, the decline of righteousness, and what the sin and what the curse finally brought in the world. It took time for that to happen. And that didn't just happen overnight. God's creation was something marvelous, and it was without a curse, and it was glorious. The earth was magnificent, and it was without pestilence and without all of the things that finally the curse finally brought. And that happened as the sins of man became more numerous and more inventive. Man's inventions were many, God said. But I like what Paul's saying here. He's saying, look, all of that happened, but God, there was a free gift of God coming. God had a gift for you and I, and whosoever will, let him come. God sent his Son to this world as a gift of God's grace to fallen man. God didn't owe us nothing. He didn't owe us that. But God's love. And when I think about how patient God's been, you know, with his love, and how, you know, what all occurred in that first 4,000 years before Jesus came. I mean, when you look at how God, you know, found Abraham, and he found a few good men, you know. But when you look at how what all happened to Israel, you just have to see the wisdom of God. You would think God would get discouraged. You'd think that God would get down in the dumps. You'd think that he just won't be willing to give up. But the difference between him and you and me and our thinking and him is he knew what the free gift could do. He knew what his gift unto man, and he knew it'd take a certain time. He knew it'd have to come in a certain time frame. Man would have to get in a certain condition to receive the free gift. In due time, thank God, in due time, God sent his Son. It was time. And you know, if you'd have looked at the condition of Israel when Jesus would have came, you'd have said, it ain't time. You would have thought that, because you would have thought, you know, this is a pitiful mess. That the world said, I hope I can help y'all a little bit tonight. If you're thinking this world's in a pitiful mess, I'm just telling you, there's the gift of God is greater than the mess. The righteousness of God that's in the gift. If we can let God, and that's what I'm wanting to say is that this free gift, it doesn't just happen instantaneous anymore than the condemnation happened instantaneous. It took a long time for the curse to develop and sin to develop in this world to get it in the condition it's in. And it's taken a long time for God to reconcile man back through the gift. What Jesus came to do, it didn't just happen just like that. In fact, it took him his lifetime to get himself reconciled to God through the mess that he found himself in. And I was reading that psalm the other night about, he was talking about his iniquity, the prophecy about his iniquity. He didn't ever commit it, but he knew it was in him. He knew there was something in him that gift of God's grace, that was working in him had to work. It had to develop. It had to take time. Sometimes I think we need to, no matter what you're going through, my wife's got a little saying that I think we all need to keep alive. You know, when people's going through things, she says, this isn't going to last forever. This too will pass. This too will pass. You know, I was telling Brother Bud and I was talking. He called me right before church and we were talking. And he got to telling me about a lady. Oh, Brother Rodriguez called him. And one of the sisters in the church down in Mexico passed away. Brother Bud said, well, she was old, wasn't she? Wasn't she pretty old? He said, yeah, Brother Bud, she was pretty old. He said, I think she's in her late 60s. And Brother Bud's 69. So I told him about Brother Green calling me and telling him he's got a new sister in his church and she's really doing good. And this was the first time she had seen me when I was there on this trip. And she was in all the services that we had in Brother Green's church, and that's where we have all the churches come together on Sunday. So both Sundays that I was there, she was there, and then I think she was in another service or two in another church that we went to. And Brother Green said, Brother Smith, you know what she told me? This was the other day. I said, what did she tell you? I was looking for something, you know, inspiring. She said that old gray-headed man seems like he's got a lot of wisdom. Now, I didn't hardly hear anything about the wisdom part. It's just that old gray-headed man is the part that hung on me. So I didn't get the rest of it. I thought, dear Lord. I told Brother Bud, I said, you know, I don't look at myself as being... Well, we got to talking about how Brother Leninger, Sister Smith and I was talking about this just the other night. Brother Leninger was 59 years old when he had his bad heart attack down in Corpus Christi. And he was 69 when he died. Almost 70. He's almost turned 70. And that's why I was telling Brother Bud, I said, you know, my wife and I, we've been talking about who we're following up here and how close we're getting to some of them. Brother Don Patton, you know, I thought he was an old man. He was just in, he had a bad heart, and he was in his late 50s when I met him, and I thought he was old. I mean, you know, I thought this was an old gray-headed, wise old gray-headed man. And he died, I think he was 71. And then Brother Clyde Patton died when he's 76. You know, and me, I was telling Brother Bud, I said, you know, I feel good. I don't feel like I'm fixing to die anytime soon. He said, I don't either till we get to talking about this. He said, we get to talking about it. He said, you know, the law of averages is against us. And I said, let's quit talking about it then. I said, let's don't talk no more about this. But, and I know I'm not helping y'all that's older than me. I know that's not helping y'all any, but, you know, my wife and I, we've got a new doctor, and she wants to tell him, he's just a young man, she wants to tell him, look, when you get done working on us, you're going to know what you're headed for, into. You know, this is going to be a great experience for you. Just like she don't realize he's got some other old people probably he's taking care of besides us. Hopefully some real old people, you know. I mean, I don't feel old myself yet. I've been thinking about dyeing my hair or something. Try to help some of y'all. You can get a feeling too bad about me. But you know, this touch of God in our lives, it really, I know we are... We're we're in a red horse stage where there's still a lot of pain. There still can, and one of the reasons is because we're more aware. We're not in darkness. We're more aware and more discerning. If you're, especially in the body of Christ, and God's opened your eyes and gave you a revelation, just like this scripture right here in the fifth chapter of Romans has to tell you that people, that death reigned in their life even though they didn't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That has to tell you that transgression was a great transgression. It was, you know, it brought death on all. It was more than just sin. It was ultimate sin. It was sin that brought judgment on the whole world. Why? Because he couldn't stay in the paradise condition of God. And nobody else could get back in there until they got where he fell from. And God knew that's going to take a long time. 4,000 years before the free gift could come. God gave a law, you know, to try to at least have the people he chose and work with to harness the flesh. At least to try to hold it down from the, you know, the, if he hadn't have gave the law on Moses and hadn't have dealt with the 12 tribes of Israel and hadn't have called the people out, there wouldn't have been any salvation. The free gift would have never came. But the law was a schoolmaster for some. The select, the elect people of God. What I want you to get is there is a God in heaven that knows what he's doing, and his grace, this free gift has touched your life and mine. The gift of grace. Now, grace hasn't abounded unto eternal life to us fully yet, but it's working in you and I. If we'll just hold on to God, you know, you're going to go, listen to me, you are going to go through valleys and mountains. You know, if you're, let me just tell you, if you're in a mountaintop right now, enjoy it. There's one of the things that I've realized, I spent about 20 or 30 years in this body. You know, these preachers preached, these prophets prophesied so much judgment, the whole time I was having a good time, I was looking over my shoulder, wondering when is God going to put me through another valley? When's God going to take me through something else? Hey, I finally decided he knows what he's doing, and there ain't no sense of me worrying about it. He's the one that's in charge. So I just thought, hey, you give me a mountaintop experience, I'm going to holler, whoopee. I'm going to kick my heels together. You know, and I can still do it. I'm going to enjoy my salvation, the mountaintop experiences. If I go through a valley, then I want to hang on to God through that, because I know that if I hold on to him, I'll come out on the other side all right. I've already proved that. I've seen that work, and not only in other people's lives, it's worked in my life. And, you know, you'll go through things in this life, but they'll pass, especially if you hold on to God. I was just thinking the other day, I thought, you know, I mean, just stop and think about, just think about the deaths in this church. How many catastrophes have we really had in the last 40? I mean, think about it. How, you know, I mean, most of our saints die old. I mean, God's hand. I mean, people die all the time. They die in their sleep. They get run over. They get in car wrecks. All kinds of things. But you look at the hand of God on God's people. And just think about how his protective hand, it's part of the free gift, saints. It's part of the righteousness of God's righteousness that's in Christ that has touched your life and mine. And I was thinking about that verse in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelations where, you know, when this thing does get down to the end, I was thinking about were the four winds that are going to bring destruction on the earth, but the one comes out of the temple and says, "Hurt not, hold back, and hurt not the earth or the sea or the green tree until I seal my servants in their forehead." I got to thinking about that, and I thought, my God, he ain't just telling them back then to hold. If he's going to hold back the four winds when destruction's going to come, what do you think he's doing for you right now? What do you think God cares about your life right now? If when it gets to a time that serious destruction, worldwide destruction, is going to come on this world, and he still won't let it happen until he gets done with what he's doing in your life. Well, what do you think he's doing for you right now? Yeah, more than we want to give him credit for. So if you're down, you know, like if you're down low as a snake's belly tonight, just roll over and look up. Just roll over and look up and say, "Jesus, I'm on a good horse and I'm coming up out of here." Hallelujah! Yeah, this too will pass. But if you're on a mountaintop, well, just enjoy it. Just shout and just, you know, be happy. Thank God that you've hit a place of blessing. But if you're going through a difficult time, I'll tell you how to get through difficult times. Hold on to Jesus. You know, there's a scripture where the scribes and Pharisees ask Jesus, they said, they was asking him about marriage. Can a man leave his wife for any reason? Because under the law, if a man didn't like his wife, he could put her away. There was a stipulation. God did make a strict stipulation to divorce. And that was, "I'll let you put your wife away." Jesus said it was because of the hardness of the heart. Men got so far away, they got too far away from God. God knew that you're too carnal, I can't help you. If you get close enough to God, I could help you. I could heal your marriage. But I can't because you're too far from me. So, you know, you're going to get divorces anyway, so I'm going to give a stipulation on it. I'm going to grant it. But if you put your wife away, you can never, ever have her back as your wife. So you better make up your mind that this is what you really want to do. But the part I was thinking about was because of the hardness of your heart. That tells you, because Jesus said it wasn't so in the beginning, because in the beginning, man was to leave his mother and father and be cleaved to his wife, and they too be one flesh. And what God had what he's joined together, let no man put asunder. And what that tells you is if you get close enough to God, see, saints in the church, You can preserve your marriage. Now, it takes two on both sides, but if you work at it, if you hold on to God, I promise you, God will work things out for your good. He'll help you get through every struggle. I don't care if it's marriage problems. I don't care if it's financial problems. I don't care if it's, you know, family problems. I don't care what it is. If you hold on to God and trust Him, and exercise your faith in Him and ask Him to help you and just hold on, you'll get through the other side. That doesn't mean God can just fix anything, because He won't just make somebody serve Him. You know, if somebody on the other side of a marriage won't, you know, seek God, won't hold on to God. But the scripture, it gives you a great inclination that if we hold on to God together, whatever we go through, I can tell you right now, I Sister Smith and I ain't always, you know, I hear these preachers and people get up and say, "Me and my wife ain't never having an argument." You know what's the first thing hits my mind? You're a lying devil. If you and your wife ain't never had an argument, you ain't got much of a relationship. That's what I got to say about it. One of you is dead. One of you hadn't got any feelings. You don't even think. And I can tell you, that little blonde-headed girl right over there can push my button. I mean, she can't push it as much as she could. She don't try as hard as she used to. She used to could ring my bell pretty quick. I could ring hers too. We fought quite a bit. Somebody told me, here I was counseling some people married. Wasn't in this church, so you know, all y'all, ain't none of y'all have any problems. But I was counseling this couple that was out of this church. They said, oh God, all kinds of trouble. And this woman told me, now she's the baby of the family. She's in her 40s. She's got sisters in their 60s. And she said, my mama and daddy, I never seen my mama and daddy have a fight. I said, well, dear Lord, they was married 30 years before he was born. I got that all worked out. I said, me and my wife, no, we don't fight like we did in the beginning, but if you'd have been around, I said, go ask your old sisters if they ever seen them fight. I said, they can straighten you out. They can help you. You know, she's just wanting to say, you know, my husband and me, we fight like cats and dogs, and it shouldn't be. I said, well, if you get a hold of God, it won't be. You'll get more God in your life. And I said, it'll take some work. You'll have to work at it. God will have to help you, but it ain't going to come at the snap of your fingers because of who you are and who he is. But if you two will work on it. As I can tell you, there's times, I promise you, she'd just soon that I'd just hit the road. And don't come back no more, she said. See, she's confirming my message. Well, there's been maybe once or twice that I even thought maybe she, you know, don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out. But I'm going to tell you something. Together we've served God and we've held on to God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd hate to lose her. I love that woman right there. I love Jesus and God. I think I love God and Jesus more than I do any natural thing on this earth. But she runs a close second with them. I love her and I'd hate to lose her. I just hope we can live to where we're old and just crawl up in the bed and go to sleep together. You know, pass out of this life. But God did that for us. You know, I didn't, you know, it took time for us to get all that worked out in our lives. But for the most part, we've served God most of our married life. And for the most part, we've been very happy. You know, God's given us a good life. But just was thinking about this free gift of God. Well, how it works. It's taken God time to get this free gift of righteousness through grace. God's grace started working in Christ, and then when he got back to heaven and got his gift, his life presented to God, and it was acceptable. And God had him give it back on the day of Pentecost. And that free gift of grace started working. Now, grace was working even before that, but not to make you righteous. You couldn't be made righteous with God's grace under the law. But God's grace through Jesus Christ would give you life and give you true righteousness. There's a scripture here in Ephesians I want y'all to hold on to. In Ephesians 4 and 24, let's start in 22. That you put off, he's talking to Gentiles here, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the Adamic nature. Put that off. Well, it takes time to put that off. You can put it off by being willing to die out and accept Christ and put on the new man, but putting it on is like, you know, it's like getting dressed. You just got to put it on a piece at a time. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That tells you there's a holiness that's not really true holiness. You can look holy, you can act holy, but true holiness is when God's really worked a separation in your life that's separating you from the sinful nature. It's a sanctification. It's God separating you from that Adamic nature. And that this free gift of God through Jesus Christ is working, it's developing, and it's creating this new man. It's already been born, but it's got to develop. And it took, in that early church, look what took 4,000 years to bring the corruption that was in the world that would kill a man. The righteous elect would kill a man. Forget about what the world would do to you. They wouldn't even think about it. In God, that free gift in Jesus Christ in 33 and a half years lifted him up out of the miry clay. And then he gave it back on the day of Pentecost, and in 40 years it lifted up multitudes. Multitudes. You tell me the free gift ain't more powerful than the condemnation and the fallen condition of man? That makes me want to shout. The fact that God, and if Stephen made it, in 3.5 years, if he made it just a short period of time, that tells me how powerful this gift is. That a condemned, the condemnation of death, a man under curse, death's overshadowing, the workings of sin that's worked for 4,000 years could be turned around and make a man perfect in righteousness. In just a short period of time, that God would be able to do that in just a few years. That ought to give you something to hold on to God for a restored church for. And you ought to be willing right now to take what measure of the free gift you've got to move yourself forward as high as you can in God. Let it work in you. Hallelujah. There's something powerful in the grace of God through Jesus Christ that he's given us. It'll look, sin, what's that saying? It'll take you further than you wanted to go. Help me with it. Cost you more than you wanted to pay. Keep you longer than you wanted to stay. There's more to it. Let me tell you something. The free gift to pull you out of that quicker than you could imagine. If you'll let it. If you'll put your faith in it. If you'll believe. If you'll have faith. It's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. And you and I have it. And it. I really believe with all my heart. Every time I get to thinking along this line, I can't help but thinking about C.T. Gray. My old pastor on South Sadie Street, 105 South Sadie, San Antonio, Texas. One morning he's just an old country boy. He's really kind of distinguished. He kind of, you know who reminded me of him? Was James Souders. James Souders had the same dynamic. He was dynamic like James Souders. But one morning he got down where we live. And he got talking about baby calves sucking a hind udder. You know, not getting but just a little bit of milk. He said, "I'm telling y'all been sucking the hind udder too long." He got to tell. He said, "Y'all need to move up front and get some of the goods. There's something more than what you're living on." He said. He was trying to help us to get in a little deeper, get a hold of the things of God, rehearse them in our minds, get ourselves lifted up, lift up your feeble knees and your hands. That hang down, Paul said, in your feeble knees. Yeah, you can. You can lift yourself up. You can encourage yourself in God. Because He, and I still, I can't help. I just, it encouraged me. When I got thinking about when all devastation is coming, He said, whoop, hold up. Not until my servants are sealed. Not until they're sealed. Hold all that off. I thought, well, God, if you're going to do that, then what are you doing for me right now? Your hand's on my life. The free gift is working in me. There's no real serious devastation fixing to hit me, but the hand of God's on my life. I know He's letting me go through struggles. He lets me go through strifes. He lets me suffer. Some of it's probably because I don't have enough faith to just rise up out of it. I just passed by. I was in a place of business then. I passed by a television, and Katie Kirk was on there, and there's some guys on there talking to her about they're trying to figure out how to live forever. I thought, you dummies, if y'all listen to me, I could tell you in just a few minutes how to live forever. They're trying to figure out how to make holograms and how to, you know, maybe, you know, until finally science, somebody's going to come along and, you know, make people live forever. So they're wanting to make holograms to see what so-and-so would do if he'd have went on living. And I thought, I can tell you, you need to know about the resurrection of the dead in Christ Jesus. You need to know about the righteousness of God and the free gift of God. Forget all that nonsense y'all are talking about. I just stood there for a minute, looked at that, and I thought, they need my help. Oh, God. Look, do you realize you've got a free gift? It's a free gift. If you'll use it, I mean, let me tell you something. I know a guy in the Dominican Republic that was he was a millionaire. This guy had money to burn. And I saw this man ask another man to loan him 100 pesos, which is $2.25. That's how broke he is, so he could get his wife something to eat. And this man was a multimillionaire. Let me tell you something. If you can have the free gift of God, but if you don't know how to use it, and you just, you know, don't let it work, or you just don't count it in it, you know, this man didn't know how to manage. He just squandered, you know, his money. But you and I, you know, God's given us something. He's given us something, and He's showing us how to develop it. He's showing us how to take care of it. He's showing us how not to let it leak out of our lives, and to cherish it and to nurture it, and meditate on what God's done for you. I'm just trying to, you know, encourage myself. And if y'all can get any encouragement out of it, go ahead. I'm really, be honest with you, I'm pretty encouraged. You know, brother Bud got me discouraged just a little bit, but I got him off the phone. I said, look, we're fixed to have church. I said, I got to go. I said, let's quit talking about this. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Anyway, I won't keep you any longer, but what a gift. Where would you be without Jesus? Where would I be without Him? What would I be? I'd be lost in a world full of sorrow. You know, these people out here, they're having temporary fun, but it's just for a little while. Oh, God, I'm having a good time all the time. I mean, I may go through some trials, but I ain't going through what them people out there are going through. They don't have anybody to hold on to. They don't have anybody to pray with them. They don't have any hope. They're just hoping for something temporary. And I've got a hope. I've got an eternal hope. But not only that, I've got the blessings of God on my life. I don't care what I'm going through. I can lay down at night in peace. There's peace in my soul. There's comfort in my heart because I know my Maker. Hallelujah. He's blessed me. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight to be a child of God. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, if I could sing, I'd sing a song, but I can't think of a song to sing, so I'll let another singer sing it. Hallelujah.
coming back, that I appreciate the warm welcome and the hospitality that's been shown to us here. This is a changing church, isn't it? It's a progression, and I come back in a different, come back here in a different marking in time, and things have progressed. I know growth has happened, and growing pains, no doubt. But I appreciate this church and the ministry here. I really appreciate what Brother Smith has done here. And I had to come see for myself. So I did. And decided to stay. I've had a lot of time to think about, what would I say if I get up sometime, you know? But that all goes away. But that's okay. If I open up my heart to you, then you'll see it, and you'll see what's inside. And I hope that someday it'll be like a window, and you'll see Christ. You know, with, I could do a goofy grin and say, you know, it's Christ, ding, but it ain't. Not yet. Just a goofy grin. But I've been reading. I'll be real quick. I know it's time to go, but I'll be real quick. I'll share this with you what's been on my heart. I was reading in Romans last night, Romans 1. It's an ugly chapter because it's just, well, it's like coming up on a scene of an accident where, you know, the world, it's like, you know, and I'm reading that and thinking, man, you know, I'd like to avoid that. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with Romans 1. Well, I'd like to avoid that. And I was, the first part of it I was reading, maybe the Lord will bring it to me, but it kind of demonstrated a having knowledge. It reminds me of the scripture that says having knowledge, and yet some of mine is all over the place. I've been on other thoughts, but not lawfully, but maybe somebody can help me. When you possess knowledge, but you're in sin, in that state, in that condition. And I know I was looking back through the past 12 years or so of things I've went through and highs and lows. And, you know, I know I was telling Jamie earlier that God showed me something, got me a revelation. And I left the Little Rock Church to go explore some things and figure out some things and grow up a little bit. I started a new job right before then. And God lined up some people for me, some special individuals, handpicked. A few years ago, I'd have called them devils, but I'm not going to call them devils. One of them has come around and he got saved. But he's been trying to save me too. And so is the other. It hasn't got there yet. But, you know, God is always, wherever you go, if you're always conscious of him, he's always there. And what Brother said earlier tonight, you know, I just cannot. Please forgive me for not being able to express this like I'd like to be able to, but my mind is reeling, and I'm on a sort of a high, And I earlier asked the brothers to pray for me. I said, yeah, you know, today I kind of got roasted and I need some water, you know. But I'm not down. I feel good. I felt hope. And, you know, it's a good thing, too, because I had a feeling, a little inkling that, man, I'm feeling really good right now. What's happening? What's about to happen? You know, it's just that negative side. You look at it, you know, instead of kicking my heels together and celebrating and just thinking, thank you, Lord, I was, oh, yeah, Lord, I appreciate this. I glory. What's around the corner? You know, I know the pattern of life, how it works. You're going through life and you get a high and it's what? Boom. It is, you know, we're not in flatlands. So, but anyway, I appreciate this church. I won't ramble on. It's late. But I appreciate how everybody's treated us, the warmth we felt, and before I go, I want to give a little illustration of something that I'll go ahead and give this. You know, I was thinking about the church and how the Spirit. What made me want to go forward tonight and just see if I can get a touch from God. Even though I was feeling pretty good. Somebody was bringing up before me today some problems that they're going through. And I was thinking about how, man, I really wish that, you know, this person was seeing what I see where you have the Spirit of God in your life and you have humility and meekness and you're able to bear the infirmities of the weak. But I wasn't getting that. They were roasting me. But they were normally a person that would give me that, that would be a leader. But they were calling on me to line me out, and you know, and so all I could do was just give them scripture. Lord, help me. I don't have that help with me right now, okay? But at the time when I needed it, Lord, allow me to give it to them, quicken my mind because I was at work. I really didn't have time to be talking to them, but I had to deal with it. And it seemed like the phone at work didn't ring and no emails came through. Nothing happened. And I just went ahead and took the time. And, you know, after a while, they said, I feel a lot better. And so I'm thankful for the Lord allow me to hopefully have the humility and the meekness to once in a while instruct somebody that's opposing themselves. And keep their morale up. Keep their... You know, tonight was a morale booster, wasn't it? We need a morale booster. I mean, what I want to say is a woman is a beautiful thing, and I'm not going to start preaching on women. But, and I don't preach, so that's good. So you don't have to hear it. But, you know, we always know we the church is like a woman, and a woman really, really easily responds to the Spirit. And you'll find, now there's always exceptions, but there's women that respond to the Spirit, and there's women that read in the Word. I'm not trying to draw a line here, but I know that every woman in a home, and this person I was talking to today, they need a touch of God. They need a Spirit in their life. I need that evermore. And I was thinking, oh, I know they've gotten away from that. I know. We need the Spirit in our home more. I have young ones that don't have the Holy Ghost. So that's a big burden. And I'll tell you, I'm here on a mission. Because I need to come to a hospital where some births can take place. I'm asking the church, can we do that? Do we have the, are we equipped? I came to a youth meeting and watched a whole bunch of children reports. Was it 20 or was it more? 25. So the birthing suite was in full operation. Here's my family. Y'all feel that, don't you? I haven't pushed this with my children. I haven't pushed it. I have a reason for it. I want them to hunger, and I want them to hear a message and hear feel a conviction. Not a peer pressure, but a conviction. Because that's what it was when I was little. We were in the old church, 7 years old. I really didn't care what this one was doing or what that one was doing, but something was pulling on me. And I wasn't. I mean, I'm 7 years old. What do you get when you're 7 years old? The Lord can show you enough. His grace is sufficient. That gift come in my life. And I know along the way, when you get weak, or when you need something to come to mind, some scriptures to come to mind, and somebody's roasting you, yeah, it'll come. It'll make you calm you down, realize that, hey, Lord, I don't have this on my own, but I need you. You know, and the Lord in response, I've got this. Just be willing to be used. Be willing to, you know, exercise that grace. So, but I apologize again, and I know it's not good to get up and apologize in front of everybody like this, but this is home, folks. Y'all people know me. Some of you I haven't met. I really appreciate the people I've met that I really didn't know before, didn't have a relationship with. Y'all have been really good to me. Y'all, you've come, you must have come from a good place. Because y'all acted like you know me all your life. Some of you I did kind of know, but a lot of you didn't. So there's been a foundation built wherever y'all came from. Republic, I know where you came from, but and maybe some other places, I don't know. But so I appreciate it. I want to give honor and glory to this church and to the ministry of this church for what it's done. And I will say the body of Christ, you know, can y'all bear with me just a few more minutes? Brother Leonard used to use a term, and I'll bring him up. He used the term omission. Sin of omission. Y'all remember that? All right. I heard a term used Sunday night. Now, I don't think, is a sin omission? I don't know if that's actually written in the Scripture. In that exact form, but that's a term we've coined for a condition. And there's also another term that we've coined called perfect overcomer. Well, it's not in the Bible in that term, but that's okay. When Brother Miguel, you mentioned perfect overcomer Sunday night, I didn't forget it because I thought, hey, I just got something. You know what it was? I got to thinking, you know, Brother Leninger used that term, and everybody accepted it. I had somebody grill me one time about how that there is no such thing as a perfect overcomer. And I used that term. That's not in the Bible. Well, yeah, you're right. And in that same conversation, they mentioned the sin of omission. And I said, well, that's not the Bible either. And I thought about that when you said perfect overcomer, because it doesn't bother me, because I know what it means. Well, I'm learning what it means, eh? in lieu of committing a further sin of omission, I want to go ahead and take time out. Everybody here that probably needs to hear this, they're probably not here, and I'd like to take care of just a short bit of business. The way y'all have treated me, y'all, this church has treated us since we came back, act like y'all have forgiven me for leaving. And so I'm going to go ahead and ask, but it's a little late because I feel like, you know, by the way we've been treated. But y'all forgive me for leaving, if you will. And the only way I can repent from this is just keep coming. That's my repentance, okay? If I apologize and I don't show up no more, then I didn't repent. So, but I don't know what the Lord's going to do in the future altogether. We get little glimpses, and they're pretty good. But I do know that in what the Lord has for my life, I don't know exactly. I've got little glimpses. And but I'd like to find a place in God's work. We got to work in the meeting, and that was a blessing. Always is. I've worked a bunch of them before we left, and I knew, and I'm not going to pass up on that. I mean, yeah, that's our attitude. That's my family's attitude. And you know, because the Lord, He helps you. And I'll try my best. We'll try our best to be faithful and find a spot and places that we fit in, if you know. And, you know, if there's a need that needs to be done, just let me know and I'll do what I can do. And when I'm willing, I'm going to have to teach me something. I can learn eventually. I appreciate your time, your patience, and I just mainly want to glorify Christ. And okay, you ever have felt that? If my name could disappear off the face of the earth and just have Him glorified, my name not disappear and have Christ written in here. That's the whole point. I like Christ to return in me. Well, you know, make His coming in me too. That's my vision, part of it. I appreciate your time.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, remember what's coming. I mean, this free gift's working, but wait till it gets complete. The condition this world's in and the condition I'm in, and in 3.5 years, it'll make me a bright member if I let it. Woo! I'll see y'all Sunday. Is it what? It is, yeah. Yeah, it is. All right. Bring a pot.